Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bart Winkler, brother.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Guess what they said coming up, right? Is that correct? Well, I don't know that tonight. Is it coming up?
Yes, we'll make it happen. By we, okay. I mean me.
Just redo the cuts from Monday. Nobody's going to remember that. I certainly won't.
Let's talk about Pacers-Knicks game six.
Yeah.
Does it really work like that?
So am I understanding this right? We both got a nap in today?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I didn't have a nap. I had like half a sleep. I crushed it tonight.
Yeah, I was so tired for some reason.
Yeah, I had a, I made some sausage and peppers, a little onion action, threw it in bread, ate that. So that was like around 5:30 Eastern. I was like, nope, I'm not long for this world. 3-hour nap, crushed it.
I went to a restaurant today for lunch, just nice. There's like a little market by my house. Took the boy, and we were sitting, and there was a table of like, 4 teenage girls, and then more girls started showing up, and then there were like 14 of them.
Ay, caramba!
And they all had to sit around the same table, so they were moving. We like had to move over. You know, when you're like in that age where you like you have the big friend group and you have to go everywhere and it has to be all of you at the same time.
Yeah,
I hate that.
The immovable force.
That's what it was.
I'm glad I'm down to now where I just have like. 4 friends.
No, I still got that same group. We're just kind of spread out all over the place, so mayhem does not ensue.
Yeah, table for 6? Yeah, right. I'll never need that again. Set us up at the high top, and we'll be good. Maybe that's what tuckered me out. I don't know. We were out in the sun a little bit. Went for a little walk to collect sticks. That was something we wanted to do today. We were trying to do trick shots in the driveway. And his trick shot, he was trying to bounce the ball and punt it into the hoop like a bouncy ball. And he got so close so many times, I felt so bad. He just couldn't get it in. Oh, the soccer game tomorrow. There's only like the other team only, it's our last soccer game. But the other team only has like 5 kids at these. So we have to like mishmash it. So
that's what happened to all the other kids?
I don't know. Game's been on the schedule all year. But we got a soccer game, last soccer game, first baseball game tomorrow.
That sounds like hell. You got to go from one sport to the other directly?
No, there's like a gap, and it's 9 and then 2.
That's even worse. But I'd rather back-to-back so I can have some semblance of my day.
So I coach soccer. Baseball, I've been like a helper at practice because they set up stations and they need like, and I'm there. So I've been a helper, and then there's 3 coaches, and another dad helps, and then I help. And they were handing out shirts, and they had 4 coaches' shirts to hand out. But I didn't get one, so it's a little sad. I don't get the shirt.
I mean, did you want to coach?
Well, I want to go there to watch, but then I told them I would help anytime because of course I'm a super swell guy.
Not me.
So. Who will get the coaching shirt for the New York Knicks? Is the question. No applaud there? Okay. The Athletic put out an article earlier in the week about candidates. So let me read you some of thank you. Let me read you some of the names that were candidates to start this thing. Dave Bliss from the hit show Good Morning, Miss Bliss. He's the lead assistant with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where he helped devise the team's stout defense. This article came out prior to game one. James Borrego, now the Pelicans' assistant coach. He had a little run as the Hornets coach. Mike Brown, who the Kings fired this season. Johnny Bryant, who was on Tibbs' staff from 20 to 24, was a finalist for the Suns' head coaching job, but Matt Ishbia went with one of his Michigan State brethren. Taylor Jenkins, recently fired from the Memphis Grizzlies. Darvin Ham, now a top assistant with the Milwaukee Bucks after a stint with the Lakers. Michael Malone. The thing there, though, is he just a different version of Tom Thibodeau? Or is that what they are looking for? Chris Quinn, longtime assistant with the Miami Heat. Sean Sweeney, top assistant in Dallas. Jeff Van Gundy, back with the Clippers right now. Jay Wright. Hey, he coached at Villanova. Jalen Brunson, Mike Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart. Why wouldn't he coach for the Knicks? Apparently, he doesn't want it, unless that's just people negotiating for him. There was also a report earlier this week from Mark Stein that Johnny Bryant and Jay Wright are considered presumed candidates, but the Knicks are expected to show interest in Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd. Udoka, it's been said, according to Kelly Iko with The Athletic, that Houston has no interest in entertaining that. Both parties, so the team and Udoka, are committed to the long-term project and actively preparing for a busy offseason. Because if you're going to get a coach that's under contract, you need to work out some compensation. And that could be what happens with Jason Kidd, who it seems like the Knicks are interested in now. And then people were thinking, oh, they could pair Giannis up with him because Giannis was coached under Kidd. Also, a report tonight from Jake Fisher that teams are starting to realize it doesn't look like Giannis is going to actually be on the market, as I've been telling you. Let me remind people this, though. Jason Kidd did not win a championship with the Bucks. I don't know if people think that he was the coach. It was Mike Budenholzer. It was not Jason Kidd. The Knicks have yet to request permission to speak to Kidd, according to ESPN. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He signed an extension when they went to the finals. Dallas general manager Nico Harrison and Governor Patrick Dumont have not yet discussed, according to sources, whether the franchise would be willing to grant permission for Kidd to speak to the Knicks. So he could speak to the Knicks, but then there'd need to be a trade. And just why the Knicks don't have ammo for a Giannis Antetokounmpo, what kind of ammo do they have in their trade chest for Jason Kidd? You need to be looking at picks, most likely. They depleted their future draft assets when they sent five first-rounders to the Nets for Bridges. They do have a top-eight protected 2026 pick from the Wizards. They have 8 second-round picks, including number 50 in June. They can offer first-round swap rights in 26, 30, 31, and 32. Kidd did interview for the Knicks job in 2020 before it went to Tom Thibodeau. I don't think I thought the Knicks would have hired a coach by now, but I don't like the pattern that I'm seeing just in these few days where it does not look like they have a plan. My analogy I use, forgive me if you've heard it before, and coincidentally, Jason Kidd was who I used it on in the first place when he was with the Bucks. They had to move on. And it had to be a move on now, figure it out later. And I said at the time, let's say your house is on fire. Then that's tough to think about. So let's say your car's on fire. You're going to get the hell out of the car. You're going to get out of the car immediately. You're not going to sit in the car and wonder, what car will I buy next? And make your decision before you get out. You're going to get out and then decide later. I don't think this was an on-fire situation with the Knicks, but they're treating it that way. And now they're shopping for new cars. And they're like, oh, we don't really like the market of cars we have here. Maybe I want that car parked in that driveway, that specific car already used. So I don't like the way this is going. I feel like if you were going to fire Tom Thibodeau, after giving him the extension, again, that they gave him the extension, it hasn't even kicked in yet. So now they have to pay him that. But they recently extended him and made the decision, we like what's happening here. Then he goes farther than they ever have with him and in 25 years. And then they decide, oh, actually, it's not enough. Which I'm not saying that's a bad thought to have if you know what the answer is, or you think you know what the answer is. He had success, and then they fired him. What are you doing? But they can also point to history, and it's worked before for some. So here are the situations that are similar in the last 35 years to what the Knicks are trying to do with Tom Thibodeau. In 1989, Doug Collins with the Bulls led the team to their first conference finals in 15 years. He had a 557 win percentage. They fired him. Phil Jackson replaced him, and eventually they won a title. 2 years later, they won six rings overall. That worked. He didn't win right away, but they eventually won. So this new Knicks head coach, are you going to get the benefit of a little bit of time, or is the they fired him because the pressure's on now. But if this next coach doesn't get even back to the conference finals, is that suddenly okay? Because it's a new coach? It's very tricky. Rick Adelman was fired after making two NBA final appearances in 90 and 92. They fired him in 94, hired PJ Carlissimo. He didn't make it out of the first round the next 3 years. The Lakers then went the Phil Jackson route. Typically, this works if you can hire Phil Jackson. After a 61-win campaign, they fired Del Harris at 6-6 in a lockout-shortened season. They hired Phil Jackson in the offseason, won a title his first season there, and then four more. Rick Carlisle was Thibodeau at one point. He got fired after he made a conference finals. The Pistons then hired Larry Brown, acquired Rasheed Wallace, and won a title. So Rick Carlisle knows what this is like. The Kings in 2006, they dumped Rick Adelman. He's back on this list. He had a 633 winning percentage with the Kings. After that, they've endured the longest playoff drought in NBA history and are on their 13th coach since. So whoops-a-daisy. The Raptors in 2008 fired Sam Mitchell 1 year after winning Coach of the Year and then hired Dwayne Casey. They're on this list because they fired before he could even accept his Coach of the Year award, then hired Nick Nurse, and then won the title. So see, it can work. Doesn't always work. Stan Van Gundy was fired with a 657 winning percentage from the 2012 Magic. They then traded away Dwight Howard, hit the rebuild. Five coaches and seven seasons later before they got back to the playoffs. Mark Jackson had two good seasons with the Warriors. Got fired, hired Steve Kerr. They won four titles, including the next season. David Blatt, remember him? Always thought he would coach again in the NBA. Guess not. Fired at an 83-40 record in the middle of his second season with the best record in the East. Months removed from a finals appearance, Ty Lue took over. They won with the 3-1 comeback. So in a lot of cases, it works out. You also, though, have Frank Vogel, who recently won a championship, fired. Michael Malone recently won a championship, fired. And Mike Budenholzer recently won a championship, fired. Now, some of these coaches, do they find success again? I don't know. Is Tom Thibodeau going to coach again? Probably not. I don't know. Is he one of these guys that, you know, fire him, he'll find a job the next day? He's 67. He's 67. Hoopswire quoting an anonymous NBA executive recently saying they wouldn't be surprised if Karl-Anthony Towns had a factor in the decision. The quote says, who was on the Timberwolves when Tibbs got fired in 2019? Who is Kat's former agent, Leon Rose? It wouldn't be surprising if Kat told Leon and Dolan that he doesn't want to play for Thibodeau anymore. Which, that's interesting because it seems like everybody wants in New York to move on from Karl-Anthony Towns, even though he's the reason that series went as long as it did with that heroic game. Rashawn's in Baltimore, 888-710-4ISN. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing much, man. A little heartbroken, man. My Orioles went streak just ended the night by the A's. So it's all good, though. We'll be back.
What did they get up to? They were up to what, 6?
It was 5-4, final score. Right. Dean Kramer had a bad outing, man. Just very bad outing. Gets a sorry athletics team that, you know, we should have won. But, hey, you know, it's always tomorrow. But, yeah, other than that, man, that game last night, man, the Pacers and the Thunder, man, I don't know how the hell the Pacers won that. It's like, I didn't give up. I didn't turn it off. And then I'm on social media. I see people saying, oh, my God, it's happening. I look at the highlight. I'm like, what? Like, because from that standpoint, up to that point, Tyrese Halliburton wasn't having a big game, was he?
Not at all.
He wasn't, like, dominating, yeah, which is kind of strange because that's why I say it was maybe luck or it's just because I can't put him in the same category as a superstar. Not yet, because a superstar is Shea Alexander.
What if the Pacers win? If the Pacers win.
Oh, my God. If the Pacers win,
he's almost your face of the league now.
Yeah, but it's a team effort, though. It's not just him. Like, certain nights, you got Pascal Siakam, the chip in. You got Miles Turner. The other guys off the bench, they win.
True. Only thing, Rashawn, with that is Halliburton's made, every time they have a big comeback, it's Halliburton making the shot. It's Halliburton who's immortalized.
That's true. So I'm wondering why did they give the MVP to Pascal, though, that last series, which is kind of strange. Like, they didn't want to show Tyrese the love, or what do you think that was about? That was kind of strange.
Tyrese had some games that were not as great. Siakam was, I think, more consistent. It was a 5-4 vote, so it was really as close as it can be. But they both had good series. It's just one more person voted for Siakam.
Yeah, and this Pacers team, even if they lose the series, they're going to be together forever. They don't have no expiring contracts or anything like that, from my understanding. Like, they can really add to this team moving forward and be a dominant force in the East. And, like, I really honestly, nobody expected them to be in the finals. I know I didn't pick them. You know, we all had the, I guess, the Celtics and Cavaliers. The majority of the world, you know, had the Celtics and Cavaliers. But I called Pat Boyle this morning. You know, he's a big Knicks guy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, because I feel sorry for the Knicks. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I just feel sorry for the Knicks. And I was just asking him, like, all right, what is it going to take for the Knicks to get over that next hump? Like, I just threw a couple players out there. He didn't like the Kevin Durant thing because, you know, I guess you have to trade so many pieces and the salary cap situation. So, seems like the Knicks are maybe stuck with the roster they have unless they want to trade something away. And I don't know what they would get back, but I don't know. Like, do you see any way the Knicks to get Giannis? Because I would like to see Giannis in New York.
Absolutely. No way. None.
No way, huh?
Zero. They don't. Mm. They don't. Rashawn, thanks for the call. They don't have anything to give. If the Bucks are going to trade Giannis, even if Giannis says, please trade me, the Bucks are not going to settle for a Luka-type deal. They're going to want a lot. They would be trading the greatest thing that ever happened to them. Giannis could be traded. If he wants to be traded, but you're going to have to get in line with even the Thunder. And if they lose the finals, okay. The Rockets, the Spurs all have way more assets. The Knicks just don't have enough. Saying New York on your chest is not a trade asset for Milwaukee. Sorry, national media. Guess what they said coming up, 888-710-4ISN. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's right. Guess what they said? Every Monday and Friday here on the Bart Winkler Show, pending Bart and or myself actually being here on said Monday or Friday. And we both are. So we'll do it. Guess what they said? I will get 5 pieces of audio. I will present them in generic slugs. That's statements. And Bart will try to guess what the subject is saying. We will grade accordingly, and fun will be had by all. Sometimes. Bart, let's start with game 1 of the NBA Finals. Pacers once again pulling
off.
Steal
that. That's a writer than you.
What exactly? What's a writer than you?
Writer than you. Sometimes.
Oh. I do like the opener of that show. Let's start with that Pacers game 1. They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. They led for 0.3 seconds of regulation, and that's all they needed. Tyrese Halliburton once again hitting a game-winning shot. Thunder just let it slip away. At one point, the Pacers were down by 15 points. It feels like we've all seen this before, and we're watching it again. Thunder in 5, just saying. Let's go to Tyrese Halliburton. I want you to guess what he had to say on how they were able to pull off another comeback. This one is 16 seconds long. Guess what the most polarizing player in the NBA had to say.
We've been here before. We never give up. We're resilient. We know the game's not over till it's over. We play a full 48 minutes, but this is nothing new for us, guys, this setting. I mean, there were nerves, but we just felt like if we could hang in there, we've seen this before, and we don't fight until the game's over.
I thought we did a great job of just walking them down. You know, when it gets to 15, you know, you can panic, or you can talk about how do we get it to 10, how do we get it to 5, and from there. So, you know, I think all series, that's what we've preached as a group is, you know, when we get down big, let's just find a way to incrementally get it down.
No.
I didn't think so either. But I appreciate you affirming where my mouse was already hovering. I would have liked a little bit more of a strategy in your answer. And you were a little more general, which is usually the safe play.
And yeah, don't you give me kind of a easy, squeezy, lemon peasy one on the first try there?
Usually I do. I thought this might have been a little easier. But I guess I was ill-informed. 0-1 to start the game. Again, you have 4 clips left.
What about my Halliburton impression?
I do like the voice change in midway.
Yeah, we always knew we never had it. We always had.
We just
know
we gotta focus.
Did I do that?
It's like Urkel and then Patrick the Star from SpongeBob. Those are his 2 voices.
You know who I kind of think he looks like? And I was looking up to see if anyone agreed with me, but I couldn't find it. Mustafa Ali.
That's not a bad pull. Man, I know we're going kind of on a tangent here. They pulled the plug on Mustafa Ali in WWE way too early when
he was supposed to win.
That politician gimmick.
Remember when he was in Retribution?
That was terrible. That was awful. Bad decision by bad creative.
Isn't there a TNA pay-per-view tonight?
On a Friday? Oh, probably. I don't know. They kind of fell off for me. I'll do like their women talent, though. They had a good storyline with Tony Storm and Mariah May a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, all right. I can't even tell you who the champion is anymore. Let's go.
Frankie Kazarian beat Joe Hendry.
I guess you don't believe in Joe Hendry anymore. Let's go to the second clip here. Let's go to SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your MVP. I want you to guess what he had to say on his mindset moving forward. SGA, he did have a great night in that game 1. Obviously, the Thunder fell short. It just seems to be what the Pacers do. And I lost his stat line, so I'm just going to kind of move on swimmingly. I want you to guess what SGA had to say about his mindset moving forward.
You just got to take it one game at a time. We know we're a good team. We know what we've done. We've been in this situation before. But we just got to go out there and make every possession count. We got to convert off turnovers. We got to make our buckets. We can all do better. I got to do better. And we'll just go out there and, you know, wait for the next game and see what it brings.
We just got to treat it like every other game, every other situation we've been in. Yes, we haven't been in this situation, but it doesn't mean our character has to change or what we did last time. It's still basketball. It's still the game of basketball that we grew up playing. The rules don't change just because we're in the finals. So it's like we've been in a situation before. In the other situation, we handled it well. We were better for game two, and that's the goal.
Good enough for me. That's the spirit of the clip that I can get behind. So 1-1, you are back on track with
yes.
2 to 3 clips to go in order to see who wins or loses this game, which is, the answer is always you. I don't know why I just said it like that. Let's go to your favorite new sport. Here's hockey. The Florida Panthers do it in double overtime. 5-4, Brad Marchand, former Boston Bruin, current Florida Panther, your hero, gets the game winner here. He's got 3 goals on this series. I want you to guess what Brad Marchand, the Rat, what he had to say on if it's hard to beat the Edmonton Oilers. This is 19 seconds long. Guess what the Rat had to say.
If it's hard to beat the Edmonton Oilers? I mean, if it wasn't, they wouldn't be this far. But yeah, you get a lead on them. They find a way to come back. We've been in overtime now, both games. I mean, you really got to pick your spots against them, and you got to play all 60 minutes and then some. It's a tough team. They're going to throw everything they got at you, and we just got to be the better team on the scoreboard.
Ugh. It's going to be the toughest one yet. I mean, you see the way that team's built over there and having the two best players in the world. It's an incredible challenge, and obviously we have no idea how it's going to play out, but like I said, these are the opportunities that you dream of as a kid and the moments that you wish you could hold on to forever.
I don't know.
I don't either. If you can guess where my mouse is hovering, I will give you the correct point.
No, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to guess where my mouse is hovering?
I feel like closeness only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
My mouse was hovering there.
Yeah.
All right, 1 and 2. So you need this to stay into the game here.
And slow dancing.
I used to like slow dancing in 8th grade. All right, let's go to the Oilers.
I didn't because I had a huge boner anytime I touched a girl.
I don't know if you can say that.
I think I can.
Marco, you want to give me a thumbs up?
No, you guys are on your own.
All right, well, I'm just going to let it rock and hope the FCC's not listening.
Okay, then I'll say it the safe way. Yeah, when I was dancing with these girls, you know, there was something going on, right? You know what I'm talking about, guys, right? Stiffy?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's go to Oilers head coach. I want you to guess what Chris Knobloch, head coach for the Edmonton Oilers. I was going to say the Houston Oilers. I really blanked out for a second. I want you to guess what Chris Knobloch had to say about the loss. This one's 21 seconds long. Have at it.
Jesus. It's tough. You know, we played 85, 90 minutes of hockey, and you never want to go away with a loss, but then you do remember that it is just one game in a long series, and we got to split against a good team, and we'll go and try to get it back in game 3. But you'd rather win these ones. You play so much, you'd rather win these ones, but there's still plenty of series yet to go.
Each game could have went either way, and you know, obviously when you win the first one, you're disappointed you don't follow up and win the second one. But we're going there with a split, and that's fine with us. We know we're comfortable playing on the road. We've won a lot of games so far in the regular season and playoffs, so we'll get ready for game 3.
Nice. Finally, I feel like we haven't gone into the 5th clip on a 2-2 tie in quite some time. And you know it's pretty special of a night when I'm going to play tennis cuts. Here's Coco Gauff. She's in
what?
The French Open final, or Roland Garros is what they call it now. I want you to guess what she had to say about being in the finals. This one's 10 seconds long. I am desperate for sound. We had nothing today. I don't even know how Coco Gauff sounds. Have fun.
So what is it?
Coco Gauff on her being in the final.
I might just throw in the towel. How long is it?
10 seconds.
Can I get a country of origin?
Oh, no. If you don't know what country she's from, then no. Scratch.
I was just kidding. I was kidding. America.
All right. You want to take a guess or not?
Do you think Barry would rent to her?
No, she's not Brazilian.
I'm looking forward to it. This is what I've always dreamed of. It'd be great to have an American win this thing again. I hope to be that one. I can't wait, but I got a lot of work to do. Very excited.
I'm really excited to be back here in the final. Happy with my performance today. Obviously, a lot more work left to do, but yeah, I'm going to savor this one and be ready on Saturday.
No, you're so lucky, she said.
Yeah! Oh, yeah! USA! 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 Why don't we do more tennis clips?
Because I don't ever post them.
I got two exact phrases in that one. Wow!
You know it's bad when I'm going to the tennis folder. Shout out to Coco Gauff. That,
doggy.
That game will be live at 9 o'clock Eastern. Game match. So if you want to watch that, get up early.
Dude, screw the French, man. Can't they put that game in prime time for us? We got an American in there. Can't they have that game at 4 o'clock French time?
And then I wonder why the French don't like us.
They gave us the Statue of Liberty.
Well, how long have they been asking for it back?
Remember when French fries were freedom fries?
I do remember that.
I still call them that.
When did that go away?
I don't know. Does that come with a side of freedom fries? People look at me like,
man, I would crush two slices of freedom toast right now. With some American syrup?
I'd be like the girls. I'd say, you want a French kiss? They'd say, gross. I go, you want a freedom kiss?
I love my salad with freedom dressing.
All right. Larry Bird's from Freedom Lick, Indiana. Okay.
I will not be submitting this one for an air check.
Oh, no. God, no. None show ever. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. So there's another story that happened this week that I have yet to mention, and now I'm going to mention it. Because if I don't mention every story possible, bad things will happen to me. You gotta give it all lip service. You just gotta give it all lip service. And this story is regarding the Chicago White Sox, who are apparently going to have new owners. Eventually. So if you're a White Sox fan, you're kind of excited. But it's going to take a while. So their owner, as we know, is Jerry Reinsdorf, who's been the owner of the White Sox and Bulls for nearly 40 years. He's 89 years old. And he has struck a multi-stage equity deal with Justin Ishbia that will see majority control of the franchise transfer no earlier than 2029. And then after 2034, when Reinsdorf will be 98, an option he holds to sell the controlling interest becomes Ishbia's, who will also involve his brother, sons, and Mercury owner Matt Ishbia, who loves Michigan State because he went there and won a title and hires everybody that was ever a part of it. Matt Ishbia was a walk-on on the 2000 Michigan State Spartans championship team. Do people know that? Just like George Halas played a few games in left field for the Yankees in the 1910s. So it's long been expected that Reinsdorf would soon settle the future ownership path. I mean, with all due respect, he is 90 or 89. He bought it with his business partner, the White Sox, Eddie Einhorn Finkel, in early 1981, in a deal worth about $20 million, and now it's worth about $2 billion. The Chicago White Sox, who are bad, in fact, terrible, that franchise is still worth $2 billion. Reinsdorf's been heavily involved in baseball, not a commissioner type guy, but certainly has helped when it comes to a lot of the way that the finances are structured now, including revenue sharing. It's the last segment of the week. If I can't read, please forgive me. I am so, so apologetic. God dang it. So Reinsdorf, they're still working on other things, including trying to build a ballpark at the Chicago South Loop. But now it looks like the Chicago Fire are going to build a stadium there, privately funded. The White Sox still think they could fit a ballpark in that parcel as well, but a little bigger uphill climb since they're going to be seeking taxpayer assistance. So the Chicago Fire are moving to a location where the White Sox wanted to go, but they're privately funded. The White Sox say they can still fit there, but we're going to need some taxpayer help, and we all know that nobody likes to pay taxes for a stadium. I just said this property is worth $2 billion. He's also looking to further develop the Chicago Sports Network, which I know everyone in Chicago is excited because now it's on their main carrier. So that's exciting. And Reinsdorf is still in control of all of this. And as the White Sox, then it's up for sale. Kind of. By 2029, at least. And then more so 2034. So White Sox fans, if you don't like Jerry Reinsdorf, I mean, eventually, he will be no longer with us as the owner of the team. God, what do you think I meant? No word on what is going on with the Chicago Bulls. So this weekend should be interesting. We got the French Open. I know I'm going to wake up for that one. We've got no Stanley Cup here again.
You're not
until Monday.
That.
Why not?
You're not waking up for that.
Well, I'll be up. I'll be up for my soccer game.
Yeah, but not for the French Open.
I'm gonna have to tell my kids, guys. I can't coach. I got a soccer game.
Okay.
So can we talk through that for a second? Can you just help me out? So I have like 13 kids on my team, and the other guy only has he says I got 4, maybe 5, maybe 6, but a couple of my kids are just like standing out there catching butterflies.
Doesn't make sense. Don't play the game. Let everybody.
Well, I got to play the game. It's my last game of the year.
No, just let everybody have a free Saturday morning, whatever. Take them to IHOP. You know, do something else.
No, got to play the game. It's our last game.
And guess what, kids? They don't have another team. This result is called forfeit. You win and you don't even got to play. Life lesson learned.
So, but I'm going to give him some of my kids.
But then who wins? What's the point of this?
Well, it's you 6. Nobody wins.
But there has to be a winner. That's the premise of sports.
Yeah, it's really weird because we like the kids are keeping score intently and you kind of want that, but then the coaches are like, "Guys, don't." But they keep doing it and doing it. So they definitely keep score, but that's not why we're out there. These scores aren't going to matter, but also we want them to be competitive, but you know, and I think the big thing is that the parents shouldn't keep score. That's the big thing. The parents shouldn't keep score because it's insane and it's 6. Although youth sports is where the next sort of entryway to the market is going. Because advertisers know and other, you know, people, investors know that parents will pay big money to watch their kids play. Like, I'm talking like televised stuff. That's why I never watch the Little League World Series. I find it exploitative. I'm not kidding. I don't like it. These are children. If they want to have this moment, that's great. I played in tournaments growing up. There's no TV cameras around me. I shouldn't be on TV. I shouldn't be something that you can bet on if I'm 11 years old. I mean, that's absurd. So I don't watch it. I'm not watching kids play anything unless it's my flesh and blood. That's why, like, when he watches YouTube, I don't want him to watch kids. Kids are on YouTube? YouTube? Videos that live forever? There's some kids, you can watch kids grow up. The trade-off is they make millions of dollars. We'll give you millions of dollars for a childhood. But anyway, my issue is I don't want to just send him four kids and then that's the team. I want to mix the kids a little bit because some of them are going to complain that they're on this other team and then they're probably not going to play well with the other team and it's just going to be stupid.
You just got to give them the ones that stink.
Yeah, I'll give you some kids. Yeah, sure. Kid who I'm still not sure knows what sport he's playing, you're with them today. Good. And then we got a baseball game, so it's a full day. It is a full day. And I'll tell you all about it, knowing that you're not really interested, coming up on Monday. Thanks to Marco Belletti. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. Thanks to all of you. David Shepard coming up next on the Infinity Sports Network. Have a great weekend. This has been the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.